Let's continue reading verses 9 through 15 of Amos chapter 1. Now, in the second half of the chapter, we have three more prophecies of judgment against the foreign nations surrounding Israel. Amos chapter 1, beginning now with verse 9. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Tyre and for four, I will not turn away as punishment, because they delivered up the whole captivity to Edom and did not remember the covenant of brotherhood. But I will send a fire upon the wall of Tyre, which shall devour its palaces. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Edom and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because he pursued his brother with the sword and cast off all pity. His anger tore perpetually, and he kept his wrath forever. But I will send a fire upon Teman, which shall devour the palaces of Bozrah. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of the people of Ammon, and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they ripped open the women with child in Gilead, that they might enlarge their territory. But I will kindle a fire in the wall of Rabbah, and it shall devour its palaces. Amid shouting in the day of battle, and tempest in the day of the whirlwind, their king shall go into captivity, he and his princes together, says the Lord. Once again, some background notes. Amos is one of the pre-exilic minor prophets. Now, what do we mean by these terms, minor prophet and pre-exilic? Do you know the difference between a major prophet and a minor prophet? Were the minor prophets less spiritual than the major prophets? Is that the difference? No. It has to do with the size of their books. The major prophets wrote larger books. There are four major prophets: Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. And as you know, there are 12 minor prophets: Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. The minor prophets are small enough books that before the printing press, they could be hand copied on a single scroll. In fact, that's the way they circulated as the 12, the minor prophets. Now, as to the term pre-exilic, it means before the exile. That is, before the 70-year captivity of the Jews in Babylon in the 6th century B.C. There are two exilic prophets, that is, prophets who wrote during the captivity, namely Ezekiel and Daniel. And there are three post-exilic prophets, that is, prophets who spoke and wrote after the Babylonian captivity, namely Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. All the rest of the prophets are obviously pre-exilic. That is, they prophesied before the 70-year captivity of the Jews in Babylon. So Amos is a pre-exilic minor prophet, and we've already seen that although he lived in the southern kingdom of Judah, he prophesied to the northern kingdom of Israel. Now, the book of Amos is very easy to outline. Eight prophecies in chapters 1 and 2, three sermons in chapters 3 through 6, and six visions in chapters 7 through 9. Now, in the eight prophecies of judgment, in chapters 1 and 2, Amos starts with denouncing the foreign nations surrounding the nation of Israel. And by the end of chapter 2, he has zeroed in on Israel, his main target. Now, in the verses that we've just read, we have three more of these prophecies of judgment against the foreign nations surrounding Israel. And so our three doctrinal or teaching points for these verses come from these three prophecies: the prophecy against Tyre, the prophecy against Edom, and the prophecy against Ammon. So doctrinal or teaching point number one: God will judge the breaking of covenants. God will judge the breaking of covenants. In verses 9 and 10, Amos prophesies judgment against Tyre and the nation of Phoenicia. What was their outstanding sin? They not only sold prisoners of war as slaves to Edom, as Philistia had done, but in doing so, they broke the covenant of brotherhood. Verse 9, because they delivered up the whole captivity to Edom and did not remember the covenant of brotherhood. What covenant of brotherhood is being referred to here? It was the long-standing covenant between Israel and Tyre, going all the way back to the time of David and Solomon. I'm reading 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 11. Then Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David and cedar trees and carpenters and masons, and they built a house for David. And 1 Kings chapter 5 verse 1. Now Hiram, king of Tyre, sent his servants to Solomon because he heard that they had anointed him king in place of his father, for Hiram had always loved David. And 1 Kings chapter 5 and verse 12. So the Lord gave Solomon wisdom, as he had promised him, and there was peace between Hiram and Solomon, and the two of them made a treaty together. So this is the covenant of brotherhood that's being referred to years later here in Amos. God expected that they would keep this covenant, but they broke the covenant of brotherhood. Tyre broke its international treaty with Israel, and God said that as a result, they would be judged and destroyed. This took place at the hands of Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, and also later when Alexander the Great overran the city of Tyre. Alexander, in his conquest of the island city of Tyre, is a great prophetic fulfillment here, by the way, Alexander sold 30,000 captives as slaves, and the rest he killed. Tyre had reaped what they had sown. God will judge the breaking of covenants. Breaking of covenants is wrong, whether it be marriage covenants or international treaties. God will judge the breaking of covenants. You know, ever since the Noahic covenant, God gave man the right and responsibility to govern himself. And that mandate does include keeping peace treaties between nations. So God holds a nation responsible for the treaties it breaks. And he will judge the nation who breaks these covenants, whether it be the Germany of World War II or the former Soviet Union or any nation today. God will judge the breaking of covenants. Doctrinal point number two, God will judge the hatred of Jews. God will judge the hatred of Jews. In verses 11 and 12, the prophecy of judgment is against Edom. Edom is denounced here for pursuing his brother with the sword and showing no pity, and for continual anger and fury against the Jews. Remember, the Edomites were descendants of Esau, the brother of Jacob. The Jews, of course, are descendants of Jacob. Now, we've already seen that Edom was guilty of selling the Jewish people as slaves. And here we see their deep hatred of the Jews. Look again at verse 11. For three transgressions of Edom and for four, I will not turn away his punishment because he pursued his brother with a sword and cast off all pity. His anger tore perpetually. He kept his wrath forever. An extreme hatred of the Jews. They would be judged for this sin. Edom was conquered by the Assyrians and later by a people known as the Nabataeans in fulfillment of this prophecy. And of course, you know, Edom's demise was also prophesied by the prophet Obadiah. Edom is no more. You don't go to the country of Edom today, right? Edom is no more. God will judge the hatred of Jews. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, God said to Abraham, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. The Abrahamic covenant is still valid today. It is not to be spiritualized away to the church. Do a study on the history of nations who have persecuted the Jews, and you will see that God judges nations that are anti-Semitic. And God not only holds nations accountable, but individuals as well, in reference to the Abrahamic covenant. Let me ask you this morning, in your heart, do you bless the Jewish people or curse them? I trust you bless them, and you will be blessed. Remember, our Savior was a Jew. And yet, there are Christians who are anti-Semitic. May this not be true of anyone here this morning. God will judge the hatred of Jews. And doctrinal point number three, God will judge expansion by extermination. God will judge expansion by extermination. In verses 13 through 15, we have the prophecy of judgment against Ammon, a nation east of Israel, where modern Jordan is today. In fact, the ancient city of Rabbah, that's mentioned here in verse 14, is the modern city of Amman, the capital city of Jordan today. Remember, the Ammonites were descendants of Lot through one of his daughters. The heinous sin for which the Ammonites are being judged here is that they ripped open the women with child in Gilead, that they might enlarge their territory. This is not figurative language here, folks. This literally took place. Defenseless women and their unborn children were exterminated, not for self-defense, but simply for expansion of territory. For this cruelty and horrendous sin, Ammon would be judged. About 30 years after this prophecy was given by Amos, the Assyrians overran Ammon like a whirlwind, burned their capital city, and took the people into captivity. Do you see the lesson here, the doctrinal point? Expansion of territory or power by extermination is a horrible crime before God. It's the lowest view of human life that's been made in the image of God. So whether it be the killing fields of Cambodia or tribal warfare in Africa or the wars of ethnic cleansing in Europe, it will be judged. God will judge the terrible sin of expansion by extermination. Again, does this not have something to say about God's view of the extermination of the unborn for the mere expansion of personal rights? I think it does. God will judge expansion by extermination. And practical application. Examine your heart for jealousy. Examine your heart for jealousy. In verse 11, we saw the sin of hatred by Edom for the Jewish people. Verse 11 says that Edom not only pursued his brother with a sword, but he showed no pity, and his anger and fury continued unabated. Why this extreme hatred? I don't think there's any doubt that it was because of jealousy. The descendants of Esau were not the chosen people. The descendants of Jacob were. The Edomites were jealous of the Jews because of this favored status. They couldn't stand the fact that God had said, "The older shall serve the younger." Genesis 25, verse 23. Their jealousy led to extreme hatred and uncontrolled anger and fury. Do you see the practical application? Examine your heart for jealousy. And I'm speaking to myself as well as to you this morning. Are you jealous of someone right now? Maybe someone you work with? Maybe a fellow student that you go to school with? Maybe some brother or sister in Christ? Maybe right here in this congregation? They got ahead of you, maybe even unfairly, and you can't stand it. Be careful. That sin of jealousy could lead to hatred, even extreme hatred. And there's no telling what acts you might commit. You would be out of control and not even realize it. Many sad examples could be given here by me, and I'm sure by you as well. So examine your heart for jealousy.